Mike Bailey, a pioneer of the Gulf Coast wine scene and award-winning food entrepreneur.
I know a lot of you wonder what to do with your moon pies. Well, I've got some wine suggestions for you. Lemon moon pies, Sauvignon Blanc, Chenin Blanc, or Pinot Grigio.
Stuart Reb Donald, acclaimed food and travel writer and world-class chef.
I was chef de casserole. I made the casseroles in the frozen food department.
For more than a decade, they've combined their expertise to answer your questions and introduce you to the culinary movers and shakers you want or ought to know. Four-time Taste Award finalists, 12-time Nappy Award losers. They are the dynamic duo of dining.
Drop, keep a screaming for more.
Dragon Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Wise boy, Odie, drinking wine. Wise boy, Odie, drinking wine.
You gonna talk?
Why don't you pass?
We're doing a radio show, right?
Yeah. Hey, good morning. Welcome to another beautiful, starting out so far, a beautiful warm Sunday morning. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there. And kind of happy Father's Day to the mothers who've had to do dual roles as being a mom and a father to their children.
And happy Mother's Day to the fathers who have had to do
the same thing, yeah. So, anyway, it is Father's Day, and I hope all you fathers, I hope everybody has a great day today. It's going to be a warm one. Yeah. So, anyway.
It's going to be Mobile.
I found out, going to eat lunch after the show over on Cody Road at that hibachi place.
Bamboo Grill?
I think it is.
Oh, great sushi.
Yeah, we're going there, and I think that's the place we're going. It's on Cody. Mm-hmm. And anyway, we are going to have to use chopsticks, so yeah. I'll be thinking of you today. vicariously through my chopsticks. And if people don't know what I'm talking about, people don't know what I'm talking about. We went out to California a few years ago.
And we ate two meals that were Asian.
But if somebody
Mike is not racist, but his hands are.
If somebody had their way that whole week, we would have been eating everything with chopsticks.
Every Asian culture uses chopsticks.
But I threatened to take Stu out stabbing him in the throat with chopsticks.
That's okay. I got him back the next day. I made him walk an entire mile and only had to stop four times.
Is that all?
Yeah. Sit down, catch your breath.
Yeah, well, that was a day. That was a fun time.
It was a great day.
Fun time, fun trip. The weather was gorgeous.
Yeah, because it always is there.
Oh, it's always sunny in California.
Yeah.
But anyway, it's not too sunny right now, so to speak. So anyway, Stu.
Hi.
How was your week this week?
Just fine.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I went to the Piggly Wiggly
The Shindig.
Taste of the South. Yeah, the Shindig.
I'd totally forgotten about it until you mentioned it. And I was like, nah, I'm already in relaxation mode. I think I'm just going to stay.
Yeah, it was a fun event. They had a lot of wine vendors there. Saw some people I hadn't seen in a few years. Saw Deborah Hodges.
How many times did you hear, Mike Bailey, I thought you died?
Or retired. It's almost the same thing. I found a table with a young lady from Tampa that she was pouring wines that she represented in this area. And she distributes through Alabama Crown. And
the wines are made in Tampa, or she distributes out of Tampa?
Her office is in Tampa, okay. And she distributes out of there. And she had Australian wines. And I'm going to tell you, Australians used to be pretty hot about 20 years or so ago. Mm-hmm. And then they started putting stupid, cute names on them, and then quality kind of changed, and then
they industrialized.
Yeah, and the quality wasn't there, and the prices just got ridiculous. But I would love to see them make a comeback because they make great wines in Australia. And I sat there probably almost an hour at her table, mm-hmm. just chatted with her, and then I found out if I just stood there.
Yeah.
I could see everybody I knew. They just walk right by.
They'll eventually come
by. I figured you'd be at a wine table. But I saw Deborah Hodges, like I said. Didn't see Kamal. Saw Alec Naaman and Scott Gonzalez and just Cammy. Mm. Saw a bunch of great people. Just super people.
Yeah. I was, like I say, when you reminded me, I was already in I'm done for the day mode. Like, what do you expect me to do? I got up and did dishes this morning. I'm worn out.
I brushed my teeth. But
not on an off day.
But I'm gonna tell you, I got to commend.
What are you fancy?
I got to commend Kamal Constantine and them and Tim Fairchild and all them with the pig there. You walk up to the front of the store.
You are specifically referring to the Piggly Wiggly at Airport and University.
Airport and University.
For those who do not know.
Yeah. You walk up, and instead of being greeted with garbage cans, shopping cart stalls, and all the, you know, all the little newspaper vending machines and all that, there's flowers everywhere. They've got like flowers planted everywhere, and I see they're doing the same thing to the one in Foley.
Oh,
they're
nice.
They're turning into green areas and beautiful flowers, and probably the most welcoming entrance, you know, you'll see at any grocery store, and it's just beautiful.
Yep.
And it's beautiful, and it makes you feel calm already before you walk in the store. You know, make you want to loosen up that money in your pocket. So anyway, they've done a great job. Good job over there, and they're fun people. They really, and they got good people working in there, and we know a lot of them, you know, from their businesses that are outside the pig there.
Well, it sounds like you had a wonderful time.
That was a great time.
I had fried catfish yesterday. That was the highlight of my week. I went up to Hickory Pit. I was thinking, yeah, I'll go grocery shopping when I get done. I'll get some fish. I'll go home, do some lemon pepper fish. And by the time I got off work, I'm like, man, I'm so hungry, I got to eat now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll go get some fried catfish and let somebody else do the cooking.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah. I went to the de facto city hall in Sims and had dinner, a couple of catfish legs. But everything else with it was healthy. I had a salad with Italian dressing. And then a baked sweet potato, which is extremely healthy. Lots of antioxidants in sweet potatoes.
Yeah.
It's a superfood.
Hmm.
So is catfish when it's fried right.
Yeah, that's right.
That is one superfood.
That's right. I love real catfish.
Yeah.
Love real catfish.
Which comes from Mississippi or Alabama. And I'll cut you some slack from Louisiana as well.
Yeah.
But yeah. I'm sure they have catfish in Georgia that are just fine. I just don't know if catfish farming is an industry in Georgia like it is in Alabama, Mississippi, and Louisiana.
Especially in Mississippi. I've been through some of the farmlands up in the Delta area.
Yeah.
And I'm just amazed the layout of the farms, how they're laid out.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, they're laid out like farms.
Right. And, well, they are. It's aqua farming. Is what it's
and
called.
Then and then I'm driving down the road, and there one street we were driving down had a sign that said crawfish crossing.
Yeah.
And then we looked, and there's like millions of crawfish crossing the street. You just got to keep going.
Yeah. Now, you know, they you tried catfish farming in Demopolis.
Yeah.
But the table water there was too salty.
Oh.
So what they've done is they've converted it over to shrimp farming.
Oh.
And farm shrimp in the U.S. is different than farm shrimp from other countries where there are absolutely no regulations on it.
Hmm.
The U.S. has a lot of regulations. When BP oil spill shut down the Gulf, we couldn't get shrimp. A lot of restaurants were getting them from the shrimp farm in Demopolis.
How about that?
And it's really good shrimp.
Yeah.
Really, really good. So that was a helpful thing. My favorite catfish farm to use in restaurants is actually in Tuscaloosa. The one in Alabama, Tuscaloosa. It's called Heartland Farms catfish. Great catfish.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my preferred vendor for it. Guidry's out of Louisiana is also good. A lot of places here locally use Guidry's. Most of them are getting a Mississippi catfish farm raised. Hard to argue with that. But I'll tell you this. Give me a line-caught river cat any day over a farm-raised catfish.
I don't know if they do it anymore, but up New York City – in the big square, the state of Mississippi used to do a family, what was called Mississippi Family Reunion.
Mm.
But they started inviting everybody, and it was just a big catfish.
You're talking about Times Square?
Times Square.
No, not Times Square. Bienville Square?
No, the big park.
Central Park.
Central Park.
Yeah.
They did a fish fry for people from Mississippi, and then it got popular, and everybody started coming.
You want to watch an interesting documentary sometime. Watch one on the development of Central Park. Because if you didn't know, none of that nature existed on Manhattan. It was a rock. Dirt was brought in.
251-343-0106 is the call and text in line. Love to hear from you.
Or not.
A bottle of whites, a bottle of red, perhaps a bottle of rosé instead. Get a table near the street in our old familiar place, you and I, face to face. A bottle of red, a bottle of whites, it all depends upon your appetite. I'll meet you anytime you want in our Italian restaurant.
For more than a decade, they are the dynamic duo of dining. Mike and Stu on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, while you fathers are celebrating Father's Day, I am celebrating not a Father's Day.
Okay.
Which was started by the character Barney Stinson on How I Met Your Mother. And as tradition goes, it starts off with a breakfast buffet at a strip club. And then a spirited round of laser tag.
Lord have mercy.
Follow that up with a monster truck show. And then you end the night with a scotch tasting at another strip club. Not a Father's Day.
Mm-mm-mm.
Yeah. So it's the traditions in life.
Is that kind of like the Costanzas doing, you know, how they made up that, made up that holiday?
Yeah. All holidays are made up.
Yeah. You got a point there.
But Tony's on the phone. He's got, from Wilmer, he's got a little bit about freshwater fishing. Tony?
Oh, cool.
All right. Tony, what you got? You been out at the Escatawba, man? You like that new park?
Actually, no. Oh. I actually have two private ponds that I know you like to freshwater fish and have access to probably 60 acres of lake.
Wow.
Bluegills, shellcracker, everything's doing real well. So if you can get my number from the man that's on the receiver, call me.
All right. Well, we'll put you back with Phil, and he can get your number. How's that sound, Tony?
That sounds good.
All right, buddy. I sure appreciate it, man.
I mean, I love to listen to y'all every Sunday.
Well, thank you.
Y'all have so many different recipes and designs on things to cook and different ways to cook it. So,
do you cook a lot of the fish in from your pond?
I do.
Ponds? Okay. What's your favorite way?
Fried.
On the grill.
Oh, on the grill. Nice. Yeah.
The bread rack on my grill.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, way up there.
Or mixed with vegetables out of the garden in an aluminum pan on the grill.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Hey, man, you know what I like to get into this time of year is good old beggar pouches. Just pack everything in some aluminum foil and throw that on the grill.
I take aluminum pan and maybe like last weekend I took some zucchini and yellow squash out of the garden. Slice them up, lay them on top of a layer of butter, and then I laid a layer of bass on the top of it, and then I added some cheese and croutons. I put it on the grill. It's got a whole pan of food.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of doing the whole meal in one container.
Yeah,
less to clean up. All the flavors blend together.
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah, Tony, that sounds good, especially that bass. Most people don't really care for bass. I absolutely love bass more than just about any fish out there. I love largemouth bass. I love the taste.
If you like bass, you need to get my number.
Hey,
I'm telling you, I have a very large lake, and I maintain it for the owner.
Yes, sir.
And
So do you ever videotape any of this these cooking segments?
I do not.
Oh man, you're messing out.
Well, hey, every time you're gonna cook, you do it different. You put different seasoning.
That's all right.
I may want Creole this day, or I may want lemon pepper this day, or I may want. Well, just salt and pepper.
Well, people would get bored if you used the same thing every day.
Yeah, you know, I don't really cook by recipes, and I haven't for a long time. I cook by techniques.
Yeah.
And the technique, you know, determines how I'm going to cook it, but then I look in the pantry and decide how it's going to taste.
Mm-hmm.
Is it going to be Cajun? Is it going to be Southern? Is it going to be Moroccan? Just whatever I find.
It's going to have butter on it for sure if I'm cooking.
Or olive oil. Good olive oil. Oh, too. Yeah.
Butter is not a problem in my house. I use butter. If I'm cooking peas or butter beans or fish.
Hey, butter beans ain't.
Everything. I use butter.
Butter beans ain't butter beans unless they got buttered, in my opinion.
Imagine that.
That's right.
All right, Tony, we're going to put you back with Phil and get that number from you, buddy. I appreciate the invitation, and I'll send you a text later on this week. How's that sound?
All right, man.
Thank you, Tony.
Thank you, Tony. And happy Father's Day.
Does he put Tony's seasoning on?
Maybe Tony has his own. Have you tried any Swamp Shake?
I have before, yeah.
That is good stuff.
Yeah, there's some.
Which is a locally made. I believe the gentleman that runs is actually out of Jackson, maybe? Alabama, but T-Roy. My goodness, that is really good.
There's so many.
It's not as salty.
Yeah.
So you can really, the less salt that's in it, the more you can apply to give it more flavor, which blackening seasoning does not have a lot of salt in it. That's why you can really pound something with it. And why it's good to add to stuff like an already made Alfredo sauce you might get out of a jar, because it won't oversalt it and it brings us so much flavor.
That brings me to a thing, you know, since I like to put butter on everything, unsalted butter and salted butter. So if I'm putting like butter on, you know, with garlic infused into it and some rosemary, should I use a salted butter or an unsalted butter? Because I still like to put.
Unsalted butter gives you the ability to control how much salt is in it.
I know. I did. All right. I put salt and black pepper and onion powder and garlic powder on. Well, I shouldn't have put the garlic powder because I had garlic in the butter. But I put the unsalted butter that I had already melted down.
Yeah, but you're reducing
down.
Salt.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, so you don't. Yeah. So definitely, if you're going to use the salted butter, leave the salt out.
Yeah.
Because it's just going to overpower.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there are a lot of people that like things really salty. They may be okay with it. I knew this dude that when he put salt on French fries, man, it looked like a candy coating. And I was just like, you do realize other people want to eat those French fries too, and they don't want it coated in a crust of salt.
I like salt, garlic salt to put on my fries. And
frying tortillas at home.
Uh-huh.
Use a combination of garlic salt and onion salt instead of regular salt. Mm-hmm. Man, it sets those tortillas off.
I learned with Spam not to salt anything if you're
right,
cooking with
it's very salty.
I didn't think about that the first time I used it.
Yeah. It's just like one of the reasons they start clam chowder off with salt pork is they want the fat so they can build their roux, but then it's salted.
Okay.
They don't have to add anything else in.
Okay.
And because we have refrigeration now, we don't think about things like that. But the reason salt pork was used was the salt cured the fat so that you could keep it at room temperature. And then you didn't have to salt things when you used it after that.
Yeah.
The way we developed a lot of the things that we cook with now that we don't think about, like vinegar. I mean, who sits around and thinks about, hey, we should make something acid to put on our food.
But
it came along as a way to use up wine that went bad, you know, when it didn't work out.
I just can't imagine that.
Yeah. Well, there are environmental things, you know, that
that
can sneak in there and make the wine.
That is true.
Right. Which is how it was discovered. Hey, someone throwing some sugar in some fruit is how we discovered wine.
There you go.
You know, and natural yeast was in the air. So.
Now that's called Brix. They don't say they're putting sugar in. They say we're putting Brix.
Yeah, Brix of sugar. Now, have you experimented or found any wines where they experiment with other forms of sugar other than just sucrose? Like maple syrup, which you can reduce maple syrup down into a sugar. Agave, which that, you know, tequila. But that is, they're refining the sap mm-hmm. of the agave to do that, to come up with the agave syrup. I wonder, there's homework for you. Are there other
sugars are natural, like in Rieslings.
Right. Well there's fructose in the grapes itself.
The longer they stay on the vine, there's less juice, more sugar.
Yeah, sugar that's in fruit is called fructose or fructose.
And you get that
I like
crystallizations and mold on the outside.
Right, the noble rot.
Oh, yes. You love that. You love that term, noble rot.
It is a cool term. I also love the term for garlic, the stinking rose.
251-343-0106.
Girl, you know that there's one thing that I love, but it's not you I'm thinking of. I want the ultimate cheeseburger.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
Mike and Stu, that's me and you.
You want me to get them?
The chopsticks?
Yeah.
Well, what are we going to eat with them? The water in your bottle?
Let's go hide them from Leanna. We'll put them somewhere else.
You'll wake up with some possessed doll with its head removed sitting on the end of your
head. Spinning around, yeah.
So a lot of fathers today are going to get new grills and smokers.
Mm-hmm. I hope they got them before today.
Well, they'll get them today to use for 4th of July.
Either that or
hospitals are going to be full.
Emergency rooms, yeah.
Yeah, so Mike and I are going to throw some ideas that each of us might have going on in our head, things you could do to try them out.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you get a Traeger, which I haven't played with a Traeger. Have you played with a Traeger?
Mm-mm.
Yeah, use like a Kamado, though.
Okay.
Yeah, those are the ceramic ones, like the big green egg.
You say Kamado, I say tomato.
Yeah. Have you ever used one?
No, I haven't. I had one. I had a green egg offered to me free, and I'm just looking. I was, you know, living upstairs, and yeah. I just didn't have the energy to carry that thing upstairs, and then have to one day carry it downstairs.
You could always pay a crackhead.
Wow.
There wasn't one around that day. Anyway.
But those are really good, mm-hmm. too. I had a brother-in-law that had a big green egg that he got during Vietnam in Tokyo.
Oh, wow.
When the only place you could get it was where they made it. And I think he paid like $75 new for it.
Wow.
And now they're $1,000 or more.
What makes them so different than just a covered grill?
Well, they're ceramic, and it's really thick ceramic, so it turns it in basically to an oven mm-hmm. that is fueled by charcoal.
And you only need to use a little charcoal.
Yeah, because the whole thing heats up.
You'll well, save so much money on charcoal that it'll pay for
the $1,000 grill. But they're very versatile. You can do regular grilling on them. You can smoke on them. I've got a Weber that you can do both. Webers mm-hmm. are great for that, the kettle style. But a couple of meats that I want to throw at you. duck, Mike. Duck is one of them.
That's duck is a meat.
Get a whole duck, remove the innards.
Uh-huh.
And you can boil that down. I usually take the innards and I boil it down, and then I have duck stock.
Yeah.
From the innards, and then Luke gets to eat the innards.
Okay.
Which is very healthy for dog. I don't put any salt in the stock
mm-hmm.
until after I pull the meat out of it, so that because he doesn't need the added salt. You just take that whole duck. I like to do a coffee or espresso rub. You can do any kind of barbecue rub you like,
mm-hmm.
and you know, just like you would ribs, about the same temperature, 5.5 hours or so.
Mm-hmm.
Between 5 and 6, depending on the size of the bird. And you want to get it to 180 degrees, wrap it in foil, and stick it back on there to about 200, 205. And that's when you get that perfect pulled consistency. That skin is crispy. And you want to save that skin, chop it up, and mix it into the pulled duck so that you got that crispness going through there. And the other one I want to suggest is for people who love brisket, but find it cost effective or not cost effective, It's beef shoulder clod. It's a piece of chuck off the shoulder. Rouse's will have them whole. Just tell them that's what you want. They'll weigh it up. Much cheaper than brisket. And if you get a barbecue beef sandwich in West Texas, it's not going to be brisket. It'll be clod.
Well, let me tell you, you say that, okay? You say that. As soon as there's some videos streaming out there on social media, the price of that meat's going to start going up because it'll get popular and then everybody will want it. Well, it's cheaper than brisket. And then they'll all be going to the store to get that.
And then the price of brisket will come down.
Well, there's that.
Yeah. But, it's a different shape meat completely. It's like a big triangular chunk of meat. You'll want to do it low and slow just like you do brisket. Probably if you do any turning with a Boston butt, you'll want to do the same kind of effects with it, but the same temperature. You're going to do the same thing. You want to get it to about 180, 185, wrap it in foil, put it back on there to 205 or so. And that's when you get a really good texture.
Oh, yeah.
The chuck, it being part of the chuck, means there's plenty of fat. And more importantly, plenty of connective tissue.
Mm-hmm.
That's what makes meat, ribs, and such is, you know, that rib sticking, that lick your fingers good, is the gelatinous mass that forms when that connective tissue breaks down slowly over heat. And that's going to be the stuff you normally find, you know, troublesome in a steak, your gristle, you know, tendons, stuff like that. There's a lot of collagen in it. And when it breaks down slowly, that collagen, which is a fat, kind of spreads out. And that's when it gets all over your fingers.
I'm thinking of a big, strong Cabernet or an Australian Shiraz.
Yeah.
Where that cut through that fat. Oh, God.
Yeah. But it's just the right amount of fat. It's juicy. And like I say, probably 30 to 40% cheaper than a brisket.
Okay.
Which is a significant savings.
Still put a good bark on the outside.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
See, to me, the bark is so important
because
it holds everything in as well.
And it's also flavor. And like with the duck or pork, that's also your crunchy. Like a whole hog.
Yeah.
You want that skin getting crispy so you can chop it up in there. It's crackling. Yeah. So those are a couple of alternative meats that you can go with other than just the regular. Man, I'm okay if you'd like smoking a whole chicken, go for it. But let me make a suggestion. It's pricey. Get what's called a capon. A capon is an emasculated rooster. So it goes from egg to beautiful, delicious, juicy bird in about 5 to 6 weeks. It grows faster, grows larger once it's emasculated. And a capon is phenomenal, probably twice the price of a roasting hen, not as pricey as duck. And if you do a capon, man, whew, that's it's like the Kobe, the Wagyu of chicken.
Yeah. Now I notice in online cooking demonstrations and videos and on TV, they'll take the whole chicken and split it down the
spatchcock it.
Yeah.
It's called spatchcock.
Yeah, the breast, I believe it is, and then split it open. Now you can buy them in the grocery stores that way.
You already spatchcock.
Yeah.
And that's what you do for your what's called bricking.
Mm-hmm.
You get a literal brick, wrap it in aluminum foil, and press it down on it. The brick, being that it's terracotta or clay or whatever, it's going to heat up and it's going to become its own heat source once it's hot.
Yeah.
The foil protects it so that you don't get any of the dirt or the matter like that from on there. And now you're cooking it from two sides with two different methods. You've got an indirect smoking technique, indirect heat. Then you've got a direct heat from that brick being on it. And then that pressing it gets it all so that it's uniform in thickness so that it cooks roughly at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of that as well, spatchcocking and then bricking them.
Why do they call it spatchcocking?
It's English, Old English or Middle English. And a spatchcock is a type of bird.
Okay.
It's a game bird. And that's what they would do is they'd kill a spatchcock, break down the backbone, split it open, and cook it like that. And they probably picked up from there. But there are a lot of game birds other than just quail, duck, and geese. We don't have a bunch of them down here in Dove. Those are the ones we have up here in the Northeast, man. They have pheasant, They mm-hmm. have grouse, you know, spatchcocks, woodcock, which woodcock is a type of duck. But there are all kinds of game birds. I would love to try. I enjoy game bird. Man, I'll tell you, there's no finer breakfast on Christmas morning than fried quail biscuits and gravy.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And wild game, venison is another example, makes the best gravy. I don't know what it is about it, but the gravy is just more intensely flavored when you use venison or quail.
Mm-hmm.
I've always been struck by how good it is.
I grew up quail hunting and mm-hmm. dove hunting and loved
it. Takes a lot of them.
Oh, it does. Fill me up.
Yeah, but there's a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
It's just like shrimp. You don't eat a shrimp to get full.
No. No, you don't. Yeah. Not me. So you know, I'm in parking lots in it sometimes, and I look and I see all the seagulls, and some of them got some big old chests. Mm. How come we can't eat seagulls?
I'm sure we can.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just think that there are certain birds that just taste better, or the meat is more tender, stuff like that.
Some of them probably taste like McDonald's.
Yeah. But keep in mind,
because they eat everybody's fries and stuff left over in the parking lot.
Well, keep in mind, pigeons.
Uh-huh.
That's squawk. Get those chicken chunks.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Chicken McNuggets. Yeah. This tastes like chicken McNuggets.
Yeah. Well, you've heard of roast squab under glass.
Yeah.
That's pigeon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So pigeon is quite edible. I know people that are from places like New York and Chicago that are like, I'm not eating a pigeon, man. That's a rat with wings. Right. Have you seen what they eat? Well, I see what they eat in the city.
Yeah.
But, you start starving, you figure out what you're going to eat and what you ain't.
Yeah. Oh, man, the bird species in those large cities is interesting because, you know, they can get anywhere. There's like an eagle or a hawk or something that nests on the Chrysler building. They have a webcam on it.
Yeah.
Birds are more people.
More people there are, the more food choices there are. Right,
food sources.
Yeah.
Yeah, because of waste.
It's like with bears and nowadays.
Yeah. Well, they've always been like that. It's just there's more of us now, and they ain't got anywhere else to go.
And what I don't get is the chocolate-covered ants or roaches. But then again,
you'd rather eat them straight?
Neither one.
Grasshopper.
I get the protein level, but it's like... Yeah.
Grasshoppers.
Yeah. Well, 100 years from now, we're not going to have much of a choice because we won't be around here, but... We are fast growing more human beings than the planet has the ability to feed. So we can only produce so many cows, chickens, and pigs. Eventually, people are going to be eating insects for protein.
I like.
And this is one of the few countries where it's not common.
I like slow food.
Yeah.
I like slow food.
Yeah.
Like escargot.
Oh, I was going to say like brisket.
So you don't think you catch it.
Let's go out there and catch some escargot.
I wonder what kind of rod and reel you use for that.
Oh, my gosh.
What if it's a little off a late-night TV? It's about a foot long.
You got to have a net, you know. You got to just position it just right because you just never know when he's going to jump.
All you need is a silver dollar. Not a silver dollar. A Kennedy, John F. Kennedy, half a dollar. So you could compare snails to it, and then that's size to eat. But it's got to be certain type snails, not just any snails.
Yeah, not the apple snails. And
no. Wouldn't that be great if we could eat them, boy?
Yeah, Chris Sherrill tried. He just said it's useless. You know that they're getting ready to dredge and clean out that lake, and they're going to eliminate the apple snails and all that invasive grass that's mm-hmm. going to be several feet deeper, and you can actually kayak and canoe in it again.
Again.
Yeah. 251-343-0106. Got one more segment, Poppins.
Midnight Confession. Whiskey therapy sessions. Buying drinks to buy some time beneath the stained glass neon lights while the bartender listens.
To get on the line, call 343-0106. Now back to Mike and Stu.
All them cats is drinking that wine, drinking that mess, their delight. When he gets drunk, start singing all night, drinking wine, spurdy, drink.
Michael.
Yes.
Would you like to take a call?
Why not?
All right.
On Father's Day.
Yes.
Who we got online?
Cookie.
What's up, Cookie? Happy Father's Day, Cookie.
Happy Dad's Day, you know. To everyone who is a dad out there, it takes a lot of work just like it. Not quite as much as it takes to be a mom from the get-go, but...
you're not figuring in putting up with the mom into that job. See, if you figure that in, the dad's got
all
just
the emotions,
as much work to do.
All the emotions and getting mad at dad because he wouldn't pick up his underwear.
Oh, listen,
and
I know
some taking the blame when he knows it's not his fault just to keep peace. I'm sorry. You don't even know what you did yet. Yeah, but I'm sorry.
I know some really wonderful dads, okay? And have known some really wonderful dads.
Cool.
And that's who I send this. And I've known some moms who have had to be dads.
That's true.
Quite a few. So, to Ollie L, happy Daddy's Day. Yeah.
Thank you so much.
Okay. I got a question. As usual, it's weird, right? Yeah, that's what you guys think, ain't it?
think or no?
No? I didn't think you knew anything. Come on, you know? I mean, at least not more than me. I mean, you know, it's like, which ain't saying much. Probably about this, maybe, I don't know. Let me ask it, okay? hibachis. Now, this is something that works for people who are not necessarily doing a big feast, but at different times. I mean, come on. Has everybody forgotten about hibachis? And what kind of ideas have you? And that includes things for vegetarians, not that you know any, actually, or pescatarians, not that you know any of those either. what you got, guys? Give it to me.
All right. Well, first off, we need to clarify what a hibachi is. Most people in America think that it is the Japanese steakhouse. That is not a hibachi. That grill is not called a hibachi. That restaurant is not called hibachi. A hibachi is a small, usually cast iron tabletop grill that is cooked with charcoal. The most common dish made on it is yakitori, which is marinated beef, usually on a skewer, cooked on top of the coals real quick. Like, there's chicken yakitori as well. I'm not sure what it's actually called, but in America we call it chicken yakitori. Then you can do mushroom yakitori, which, I mean, honestly, some mushrooms with a little garlic and some soy on it, cooked on charcoal, phenomenal. Oh, my gosh. That's,
you think?
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm a huge fan of cooking mushrooms. I love mushrooms.
I do, too.
Yeah. But you could do any vegetables you put on a kebab, you can do on your hibachi. And do it on the skewer, season it however you want, blackening, seasoning, now it's Cajun. You know, barbecue rub, now it's barbecue. You know, soy sauce and a little ginger and garlic. Oh, that'd be terrific.
And a lot quicker and faster and, you know, get maybe some more better. I'm a crust girl. I like the crusty stuff, you know.
A little char on the outside.
But who doesn't, you know?
Yeah. But yeah, you're not going to feed a family of six with a hibachi.
Well, when I got out of high school, and those of us who could afford to get an apartment, and back then a two bedroom apartment or one bedroom apartment was only like a
12 shillings,
120 bucks, 140 bucks back then in the 70s, and you couldn't wait to buy a little hibachi grill on your patio, and we would always sit out on the patio, open the door, and go in and out.
On your finger hut outdoor furniture.
What now? I don't know if finger hut was around then.
My sister lived in Cabana in the '70s. Everything in that apartment was finger hut.
There you go. But man, it was great having a little hibachi, and then you take the coals out after they cool down. And you know, dump them into garbage cans, set the garbage can on fire.
Yeah.
And but it was good memories.
For those of you who compost, that ash and those gray charcoals, fantastic in your compost. Put it in there. The basically what you get when you add ash to water, sulfuric acid,
mm-hmm.
it will break down your compost much faster.
Yeah.
So that's a good use for those ashes.
There you go.
Cookie, we got to get on out of here, but thank you for calling in and being a great mother on Father's Day type person.
Have a good day, Cookie.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah.
I'm going to eat, speaking of bocce.
Yeah. I'm thinking about running down to the new Bayfront Park, the newly renovated Bayfront Park there in Codin right before you go across the causeway to Dolphin Island.
Okay.
Lots of improvements there, and I want to go check. They have added a beach, so you can take the kiddos to go swim in Mobile Bay, and I don't know that there are any dolphins to swim with there, but
might be some alligators.
I'm not sure. I'll have to check.
There's alligators. Look, if there's water, there's alligators. Yeah,
it's pretty salty there, but.
Have you seen them on but their Orange
playground,
Beach?
Their playground is, well, you got Shelby Lake on the other side.
Though. You got, yeah, that's true.
And Perdido River.
And also I've seen photos of them down down by Fort Morgan.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not uncommon to see the mm-hmm. gators in the salt water. It's just not as common as you would a freshwater source. Mm-hmm. And if you got a freshwater source close to that salt water, the more common. Because you go down to Mare State Park, you'll see gators everywhere.
Yeah.
That's brackish water.
Mm-hmm.
Gator Alley over in Daphne,
mm-hmm.
that is brackish water there. Which, for people who don't know, brackish is a mixture of freshwater and salt water. Not as salty as the Gulf or the ocean, but saltier than your freshwater. All water has salt in it,
mm-hmm.
natural bodies of water. In fact, the water you get out of your tap has salt in it. If you've ever had an aquarium and you've noticed that line of white that forms near the top when it starts evaporating, that's salt.
Okay.
So there's natural salinity in all water. It's just how much. The amount that's in the ocean is 3%. 3% saline.
Is that all?
Yep. And that is also how you know whether you have enough salt in your water for pasta, potatoes, or whatnot. It should taste like ocean water. Simple as that. Put the salt in, stir it, taste it. If it tastes like you got a mouthful of Gulf of Mexico, sorry, Gulf of America, then you got it right.
Mm, it's pretty salty down in the Keys. Mm-hmm. Really salty down there.
Yeah.
So you can't go down as a diver. You can't.
That's because all the margaritas.
There you go. That's what it is.
I was yesterday with my son, and I can tell you, it was salty. It was something.
You just float on top of the water. Why ain't I going down with my tanks?
They explain the bloodshot eyes.
Yeah. Good time down there.
Yeah. Well, Mike and I want to hope that all you fathers have a mother of a time. And
the mother of all Father's Days.
Hey, there you go. That means jalapeno peppers.
There you go.
Provolone.
Get out there and support local, please, and provolone.
Yeah. Provolone local.